This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Nothing. It's me, your boy, the hottest dude in the podcast game, Sebastian Canelli. And as always, per usual, we have the cute boy here himself, Robbie Boy. Robbie, say hello to the beautiful people.
What is going on, beautiful people?
I'll tell you what's going on, man. So, as you know, I've been spending time at my parents' house, having to be there a little bit. And they do something that I know is wrong for the world, but I want to do and would make my life easier.
Okay.
Paper plates.
Oh, yeah.
Paper plates, I know it's wrong.
Yeah.
I know it's wrong, and boomers don't care.
Nah, I grew up with a lot of paper plates.
I grew up with so many paper plates, and it made life easier.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't...
Especially in the summer.
You could be willy-nilly.
Yeah.
Take the plate down the block.
Yeah.
To you could move loose with the plate, not worry about dropping it.
Having people over, in and out. Backyard, where you're going to bring stuff outside.
It makes, and boomers don't care.
No.
Boomers can't give a crap.
No.
If I told them that the environment's happening, they go, oh, that's no good.
I'm going to buy more.
No, that's no good. We better stock up now.
Yeah.
And I see the convenience of it.
Yeah. I mean, it's great.
I don't have a dishwasher.
Oh, wow.
I don't have a dishwasher, and I'm just, every day that I'm washing dishes when I'm home now, I go, this is for you, Mama Earth.
Yeah, I don't use paper plates.
I need to know the stats. How much?
How bad is it?
Yeah. How bad are paper plates?
And if you like burn them after,
like I just need to know. Like yeah.
They're really, really convenient.
Is there a way? Like we need to make a list of like how we're helping the earth. I'm thinking about the earth, obviously. Okay. Solar eclipse day. How we're hurting the earth, and like what's the lowest on the rung, and what's the highest?
Yeah, it also feels like there's tiers to paper plates. I grew up with the ones white, very thin, no bells or whistles. Now I feel like a lot of these paper plates, there's like a fucking lip around them. It's like it's a stronger plastic. There's a design. We don't need all that. I need basically like what they give you at a pizza spot is what the paper plates I grew up having.
I grew up on those too. Yeah. My parents now elevated to the lip one.
Well, because it's impossible not to. Plates now, they give me the lip ones.
Well, here's the thing. When I was a kid, we did styrofoam. So I feel like not doing styrofoam, we're already making a positive.
Yes.
So that's why the boomers are like, we're doing paper plates. I don't do styrofoam cups.
Interesting. I wonder what the difference is because my
between
dishwasher,
and...
no, just paper plate and my dishwasher will be like, don't wash your dish before you put it in the dishwasher because you'll save XYZ on water. So I'm like, how much is the water
and
the paper plate?
Yes. I need math.
I need to know the exact difference that's happening with the paper plate
to
the water. Because the paper plates that are really fucking thin, you got to think they compost.
They got to be.
Right?
If I'm buying recycled material paper plates, that has to be better for the world than...
The dishwasher.
Than washing your dishes.
Yeah.
I need someone to
crunch the numbers.
We need
numbers crunched. Where's Raleigh?
Right? I like truly need someone out there to give me honest feedback on what is hurting the environment and like how much of an impact it is.
And then maybe something with the same level of impact that you could do in a different area to offset.
I would love
so that your net is zero.
You know
by
what?
By switching to paper plates.
I would do paper plates if I could switch to something else. If I could like, I don't know. If I didn't buy a water bottle going out, maybe I'd switch to paper plates.
Yeah, no, there's definitely things you would sacrifice, I feel like, to get paper plates. Paper plates are great.
Oh, God. I'm loose with the paper plates. I feel good.
Yeah.
You know how much more often I'm like eating a full meal instead of a snack because of a paper plate?
That's good.
Because it's just like, oh, I'm not worried about doing dishes.
Yeah, no, sometimes I'll do a napkin. but then I'm just doing a paper plate. A napkin is a paper plate.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You might as well just go to the source. Now, here's the thing. Are people going to judge me if I start having paper plates in my house? Are you going to judge me?
I wouldn't judge you.
You would benefit. Yeah. No, you wouldn't benefit.
I mean,
I do your dishes.
Yeah. But I'm down for paper plates.
You would.
I don't know. If you're having people over.
I would never serve paper. If I had people over,
really.
I would put out. But here's also the thing. Yes. If I have like a Christmas party, I'll put out paper plates for the Christmas party.
Yes. Themed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So why is it appropriate for a holiday, but not appropriate for my day-to-day life?
These are good questions, and paper plates are really convenient.
I'm sorry. I know this is we're getting to semantics around.
I know. The paper straws are
out the window.
They don't exist anymore?
No. What was the last time?
That was good. That was good because it wasn't helped. Plastic, right? That was like paper straws are compostable.
Bro, think about it for a second. What was the cup that you were drinking out of?
Probably plastic. Yeah. Or coated in plastic. Paper coated in plastic.
Yeah. There was more plastic on the cup than there was on the straw.
Yeah.
The straws did nothing.
I don't know. It is very helpful to use paper plates, I would say.
It's like when McDonald's started using the paper straw. I'm like, get your priorities in order.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I would eat a lot of McDonald's on paper plates. You go to the fast food spot, paper plates. Anything you have takeout, paper plates.
I know. So.
Nah.
Yeah.
It is the summer, and there's going to be a lot of paper plates. Summer's paper plate season.
So now I'm like, I was just wanting to get your opinion on that.
I support.
How much harm I would be causing to switch. I'm not doing it until I get a little more info.
Okay.
But.
The full switch over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'll wait till I get a little more info, but I would love to become a paper plate man for the summer.
I think that's all right.
Especially a sandwich. You know how stupid you feel pulling out a glass plate to put a sandwich on?
I feel
on?
Stupid putting a lot of things on my plates.
Like, not
because
all
I'm
meals
just,
deserve
yeah,
plates.
Most of my meals that I cook don't deserve plates.
Like, if you...
I don't ever cook a meal that deserves a plate.
If you cook a good meal, but you put it on a plate. If you need a serrated knife to cut, put a plate on.
Yes.
Real plate.
Yes.
A dish.
Because then you'll get paper residue in your food.
Yeah, but if I'm eating a sandwich, let me do the freaking paper
100%.
Plate. Beautiful.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I just had to... because they have a lot of, they also do the snack packs, which I know is bad for the environment. They don't give I don't think my parents give a crap about the environment.
Probably not more than a basic level of convenience.
Yeah, I think that convenience is over the environment.
Yeah.
Right?
I would say so.
My mom occasionally will do, bring all the Amazon packages together.
Of course. I think recycling... I mean, we recycled growing up, the cardboard boxes, certain things. We have a recycling bin.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's where it ends, I guess.
Yeah. Beautiful. I just had to... My life might become extremely better. I think it would give a big jump in my life.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that. I think you should do it.
I'm here fighting inches.
I think you should do this really thin ones. What could they possibly... There's got to be compostable paper plates.
I'll spend a little money on it.
Yeah.
You know? But I'm out here fighting of inches of happiness, right?
Yes,
now.
I agree.
And that's how you win.
I think so.
Happiness is a game of inches, bro.
It is.
It's literally not that you're just going to jump and you're going to be in the happiness touchdown.
No.
You fight for every inch of happiness.
Happiness is for sure a game of inches.
Happiness is a Twizzler on a Tuesday evening. You
for
know
sure.
what I mean? Happiness is a walk outside on a Saturday. That's an inch.
You need seconds of happiness.
You
got to clock them.
You are fighting... Everyone's fighting for happiness in inches.
Yes.
There's no... The only way that you ever get, like, a huge jump in happiness is if you take antidepressants or if you leave, like, a toxic situation.
Yes.
But even then, you still are fighting that battle.
Large streaks of luck, I guess.
Yeah.
But I would say it's almost always a game of inches.
It's inch
with yourself.
After inch after inch.
Yes.
That's what I've learned about life. Nothing is major jumps and switches.
No.
I feel like life is all just like Thomas the train, the engine that could.
Yes.
I think I can. He's a perfect model of what life is, trying to achieve anything.
Okay.
It's just slowly,
yes.
Come on, I could do it.
I'm kind of doing it.
That's
I'm kind of doing it. I could maybe do it a little longer. All right, I'm doing it again. I'm doing it. All right, I'm doing it for real. I'm doing it. Yeah, you got to just keep... And every second you need to be telling yourself that you can do it.
Yeah.
Every second you're not, you're telling yourself you can't. It is a game of inches.
It truly, there's only like a few things in life that really switch everything.
Certain things, I guess.
Having a child is like,
that I would say is inches build up to that. I mean, sometimes it's a complete surprise, but not really. No.
No, but I would say it switches your life overnight.
Yes.
And that I don't even know about happiness. I think it causes happiness, but
yes,
I think it makes you feel less important, which is actually the most beautiful thing that people want.
Yeah, I could see that.
I think that we don't realize that as a society, we don't want like feeling. Who do you know that feel like they feel super important about themselves and they're a happy, great person? Who feels like, oh, they have a lot of like I have a lot of importance and they feel like a happy, good person?
I don't know. I feel like you're saying someone that takes himself really seriously.
Yeah,
I do think it's hard to be happy when you take yourself super seriously because any attack on that puts you down a notch on the happiness.
A person that should take themselves that takes themselves lightly and small is the person that's happy.
I think it's happier, yes.
And I think a child does do that for you sometimes.
Sometimes it's the opposite.
Sometimes it goes hard in the other direction.
Hard.
Hard. Where some mothers then all of a sudden.
All right. What are we doing right now?
I will say this. The one beautiful thing I notice about like parents.
Yes.
They lose embarrassment. A mother loses embarrassment about complaining about stuff, about speaking up for themselves, because then all of a sudden it's not about you. It's about the other person.
It's a vessel, yes.
No one is less embarrassed to complain in a store than a person that had a child.
Yes.
A person that had a child is someone's worst nightmare, customer service. That and an old person.
With the child present or it doesn't
yes,
even
with
matter?
The child.
Okay, with the child present.
With the child.
Yes.
A child's present, there's zero embarrassment inside their soul.
Yeah. Sometimes, yeah, for sure. It is wild.
As a single guy, if I was at a restaurant and they brought me the wrong food, I would go, who am I to complain? Who am I to complain and send this back?
Yes.
Who am I? We went out to eat the other day. They charged me extra for stuff.
Yes, they did.
Who am I to complain about that? I have no child.
I mean, my mother, I love my mother, but she has no issues.
She would have, exactly.
She has no issues. She'll sit on phone with Verizon for 2 hours to distribute $30 on my phone bill.
It's amazing how mothers have no shame about
especially
speaking
when
up.
It's with the kids. If it's speaking up for the kids.
They know how to do it.
For sure.
That's a skill that, I think that's a skill that's like passed down from cave people.
Yes. Yeah. And like, it's an interesting relationship because it doesn't, I would say that level of defense and like sticking up for you doesn't necessarily happen to the kid.
No.
Where it's like, I support you. So it's like that language isn't necessarily always being said, but it is, will be used to a random store representative in the Old Navy.
Yeah, it won't be. It won't be.
It won't be like I
kid.
Love you so much. Like, yeah, I want to support you so much. Like, how dare you do this to my kid? Disrespect
yes.
me? I'm like, you disrespect me all day. My whole life is you disrespecting me.
That's such a good point. The mom gets to Here's the thing: a mom gets to disrespect a child.
Yeah.
Nobody else gets to
nobody
disrespect
else,
a child.
Nobody else can reprimand, disrespect, speak on.
The only person that can reprimand a child is a mom. If anyone else touches that, they scream. No, this is my person to shit on.
Yes.
This is my person that I get to tell what to do.
I have cousins that were not into the masks when COVID was all happening. But as soon as a stranger would tell his kids that they shouldn't wear the mask, then he's all like, you can't tell my kid what to do.
Yeah.
Yelling, mad at these people. He doesn't personally want to wear the mask or believe in them. But as soon as somebody told his kid they couldn't, now he's like, you can't tell my kid what to do.
That's tough. That's a tough look for you cousins.
For sure.
That's a tough... But
that's the logic.
It's pride.
It's just, I can tell my kid what to do, nobody else can.
Pride is funny because it'll make you fight for stuff you don't believe in.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Pride is...
I would say that's a lot of what pride produces.
Yeah, pride will make you, like, builds 10 years around an argument you don't even care about.
Yeah, you gotta let it go.
No one... that's why I'm thinking, like, no one finds peace in pride.
No. I don't think there's very much peace and pride. I was a very prideful person, I feel like, for a little bit, and there was no peace.
Because you're always looking who's slighting you.
It's always ops, yeah. You're always looking who's slighting you, and you're trying to find, you're seeking it out even, I would say.
Yes.
Prideful people are like that small passive thing they did at dinner. Oh, did you see the way he looked at you? He was looking at you when you were talking, and it was disrespectful. What, did you think my kid's dumb? It's like, no, not really. He just made us face when I was talking. I don't know.
Also, people could have moments where they said something dumb and we could laugh
at
it, and then we move on.
Yeah.
Like, you are not the collection of your moment-to-moment actions. You're a collection of your behavior.
No, this is a lot of what The Sopranos is about.
Yeah, I guess
small little things
that
could blow up into huge things.
That's what life
is. Oh, he found out I eat pussy. Oh, like what?
Life is what's going choosing on? The small things that you're going to make important.
Yeah, you like to eat pussy. Now all of a sudden you're afraid to let people know? Junior Soprano, what's going on?
Yeah.
Why are you now prideful against the thing that you like to do?
Because he wants people how he's perceived.
Yeah. Well, that's what it is. When you're always focused on how you're perceived, you're not going to be happy.
Well, it's a forever losing fight because you're not in control of it.
You can't control it.
And you know what the winning fights are? Things that you are in control of.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's why I'm fighting for this paper plates.
Yeah, because you don't want to be perceived.
Because I'm in control of it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how will I be perceived? But rather than enjoy my own comfort and ruin the world, the environment,
yes,
and enjoy myself, I'm like, how will I be perceived? So I guess perception is good sometimes.
Well, that's what I've been thinking about recently, because I feel like I was so far in one way of like very small microaggressions I would take as someone slighting me.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, try to relieve myself from that. I'm like, all right, that's not healthy. I can't live that way. I didn't like the person I was. So I'm like, all right, I don't want to care about how people perceive me. I just got to show up as myself and a person that I like, and that's how I should live my life. But I don't think I am thinking about how other people perceive me at all. And I also don't think people know me that well. Such and I just kind of hop in relationships, new relationships with people, being like, all right, I just act how I always act with everyone. And I don't care about how people perceive me. And I forget that they don't know me. And I'm not thinking about how people perceive me at all. And I say stupid things. I'm not locked in on conversations. I think maybe I'm rude. And I've been thinking about this.
Yeah, I think sometimes you might be slightly rude.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes you don't fill in people in context of what's going on.
Definitely not.
So these are things you improve.
Yeah, I've been thinking I need to focus a little more on how people perceive me.
That's good.
Because they don't all know my whole life.
No, yeah, you are very pro-honesty to a degree that sometimes is too much.
Inappropriate.
It's sometimes the honesty that you give isn't necessary.
For sure not.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
If someone's really
what am I talking to this for?
Yeah. Sometimes you give honesty in situations that don't require honest. Or they're not
nobody
even asking
asked.
For it.
Yeah.
They're not even asking. Honesty in situations that people aren't asking for honesty is the worst.
Yes, for sure. And it also usually comes with advice.
Well, here's the thing. Most advice that people give isn't honest. If someone tells you about a scenario that they're living,
yes,
and they're telling you about an argument that they're doing, the other person then says, I would never do that if that was me. Oh, I would never do that. I wouldn't stand for that. And they would.
Yes.
Most people, when they're giving advice in that regard, when they're like, oh, you're dealing with that, I would never do that. So they give you advice that they would never do. They would never do themselves.
A lot of times.
They speak so out of turn or so out of who they are.
It's the version of themselves that they created in their head that's like the Superman version of themselves, they would do that.
They're also stoking the flame of a fight.
Well, that's a big way I think the drama gets escalated in groups is this.
Well, because they're like, you put up with her not inviting you to the dinner. I would not invite her to this. I would get back to her. It was like, I was on vacation. We're not that close. It doesn't matter. You should throw a party just to not invite her. That's what I would do if I was you. If someone gives advice and then says, if I was you, and then says what they would do, know that they wouldn't do that. Know that most of that is pretend.
Absolutely not. But it's fun to hypothesize, especially in like a group.
Yeah.
If you're all like at work, it's, you know what I mean? Like at a work setting or a big friend group, and everybody knows the dynamics of everything. And it's like, oh, you have an opportunity now to start a feud with XYZ person. And I don't have this opportunity in the group, but I don't really like XYZ person. So I'm going to tell her, maybe you do this. Yeah, if I was you, I mean, oh, I can't believe. Oh, wow. She said that to you and you didn't say anything back, and you're going to hang out with her this weekend. You're not going to say anything. Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, I would definitely bring it up. It feels like you should I can't believe you're not going to say anything.
I know. And
you want me to say something? I'll call her. I'll call her right now because that is unacceptable behavior.
It's
fun. I mean, it's not fun.
It's not fun.
It's
I
not
actually
fun.
Think
it does create
a thing of pride that it makes a small thing much bigger.
Yes.
Because a lot of the times your friends are not speaking for your best interests.
Yes.
Sometimes they'll be like, I would be furious. I would be mad. And sometimes they'll talk you into a place where you're mad.
Yes.
Into
oh, for sure. They can do that.
Like, sometimes you'll bring up a story and you don't realize that you should have been upset about something. And then all your friends will work you up into a tizzy that you should be mad at this person.
Yeah. No, for sure.
But sometimes if you live that moment, maybe you shouldn't be mad at them.
No.
Because they knew the context.
Yeah. It's hard. I also am really honest. Which maybe isn't good. So maybe, I don't know if my advice is always good.
It's sometimes good to be honest. I think that sometimes it's not.
I feel like a lot of times with arguments, the way through is honesty.
But that's with arguments.
Yes.
When we're speaking on like how you're honest, it's not always with arguments.
No. But drama stuff, I feel like you could avoid drama with honesty.
Or you everyone start saying drama with honesty.
You could start drama with honesty, that's too. You could end it with honesty, or you could start it with honesty.
Yeah, it's the bookends of trouble.
Of drama.
Yeah.
Is the truth.
Yeah.
Some people can't handle the truth.
Nah, but also, like, I think it's good to speak the truth because you don't want to hold something. Anyone that's holding something for years and years is in pain.
It's very bad. Yeah. And I don't feel like I hold that much.
I try not to hold stuff. I try to always remember that, like, yeah, I've had things done to me. I've done things, you know, bad things.
Yeah.
Bad things have happened to me. But I always try to be like, oh, I need to be address what's in front of me right now in the moment.
I think that's good.
Yeah, that's the only way to live, right?
I agree. Because you can't have all that on your... I have too much other things on my head.
If I think about some stuff, like, oh, that's... you know? There's so many things that, like, could make me cringe for so many different reasons.
For
you know?
Sure. No, you gotta... The honesty is... usually a good way through, I would say. I don't know. I'm trying to think.
About what?
Situation. I don't know.
You're just trying to think?
I'm trying to think.
Thank you for sharing. You're trying to think. Oh, no. He's tweaking out. He's tweaking out. The kids.
I don't know. That was hard. I thought.
I'm trying to think. You should be so much better at sports sometimes the way you talk.
What does that mean? Because I'm a himbo?
You know it. I'm trying to think.
I wasn't that good at sports.
Yeah.
Shocker.
Yeah. No, that's okay. That's okay. Cool. So I want to talk about something that I saw online, a study that I saw. A study came out about the pros of anti-dieting.
The pros of anti-dieting.
Yeah, which I think is good, right? I think the idea of, like, it's a lot of, I mean, everyone has a different relationship with food, but it's like a lot of the ideas of there's no bad foods, like you shouldn't be counting like your calories so aggressively, like combating what society has like pushed upon people for so long.
Yeah.
Right? It's so funny though. Burp as you talk about anti-dieting. I had to hold in a burp as I was talking about anti-dieting because my sandwich from lunch is coming up. This is true.
I mean, you're drinking club soda. That's what
it's the sandwich from lunch coming up.
A fizzly drink while you talk.
I don't think anti. pass me the chicken palm. Anti-dieting is good. I don't mind that I diet it, okay? We do ice cream after this, Rob. Yeah.
A lot of dieting is just people trying to sell scams.
Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff in, that There's a couple of good things, excuse me, and a lot of bad.
A lot of selling.
So there's this movement of anti-dieting, which I think is great. What I do believe that most people that struggle with food, it's a mental thing a lot of the time. And people that need to lose, I mean, even people that are underweight, overweight, right? It's a very big mental fuck.
Yes.
Dieting, right? And the study about like how anti-dieting is a new thing and that this company, someone's going to put a ton of money into promote anti-dieting. Who is it? General Mills. General Mills has now come out that they hate diets. I don't know. I think you got a horse in the race.
For sure.
I think that when you make Cocoa Puffs,
yes,
you got a horse in the anti-dieting race.
Yeah, for sure.
I want to know what marketing genius. They definitely got a promotion. They walked in, they go,
yeah,
I have this great idea. What is it? Diet Atkins has been killing us. Keto's been killing us for years. What if we do this? We pretend to support people's mental health and say that we're pro-anti-diet, and then we put it on the back of our sugary cereals.
Yeah, they're co-opting a good thing and trying to just be like, how can we capitalize on this? How can we make this money?
If Delta was anti-dieting, I love it. If like
yeah.
If
but that's like
Con Ed was anti-dieting, I go, they really mean it.
Yeah.
They really mean it. But it is like...
No, if Delta was anti-Amtrak... It's like, yes. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yes. I'm anti, trains are bad.
Yeah.
You know?
No.
If all of a sudden City Bike just came out with being like, hey, we're anti-cars, the pollution. You know what I mean?
It's all right. There's a motive here.
Yes.
For sure there's a motive for General Mills, which makes most of the snack food in America.
Most of the sugary packaged snack food is made from them. And I'm all about anti-dieting until I'm told to anti-diet from General Mills.
Yeah, that's wild.
From General Mills. Was Nabisco going to tell me next, hey, we're not about you walking? You know, all of a sudden, they're going to be weed coupons in my cereals.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, that's wild. I don't. What is the promotion? Is it like anti-diet?
They're just putting money towards it.
Okay.
They're putting money.
Is it then like you get discounts if you're on an anti-diet?
No.
You'll get free.
They're just putting money into campaigns to support it.
Yeah.
Which...
It is a good thing.
Until you find out the people telling you that you should eat more makes food.
Are selling you, yeah, highly addictive, not...
Highly addictive
food. Highly addictive, not really good for you at all.
But the whole point of anti-dieting is there is no bad food, which I support.
Okay.
Right? Like I think they say like a lot of anti-diet stuff is like restriction causes binges.
Yes.
Which I agree with.
Yes.
I agree with. But... So I do think like they don't. General Mills is like, see, there's no bad food. Finally, we have a company that isn't shitting on us.
Yes.
So they're like trying to get in the back door.
But as is an anti-diet, like you could eat fruit gushers for every meal all day.
No,
that's not what
it's about. Balance.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I would imagine.
It's about like having a balance.
But that's what they want. That's what General Mills wants.
Yeah.
They want you to buy Cocoa Puffs, gushers. Yeah, that's what they want you to buy their stuff.
They want you to buy all their cereal and
which they're running tests to be like, how can we make this more addictive?
Yes.
How can we make this so that people need it? How can we... Yeah, they're just trying to maximize their profit.
I mean, like...
Which is just a new way.
People look for conspiracies in all these... Like, there'll be the earthquake, and they'll be like, this is the government trying to split the country in half. And also, but like... You don't need to look for them.
No, this conspiracy is...
They're right
tell
in front
you.
Of you.
They're this, pretty much very transparent.
This isn't a conspiracy.
No.
A company that makes sugary addictive fast food is pro not dieting.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not a mad genius,
and
but
they,
I can
they
put it
are,
together.
I wouldn't even say they're pro not dieting. They want you on a General Mills diet.
Yes.
They are very pro dieting. They want you on their diet. They want you eating their food.
It's absurd.
They're not sending you elsewhere.
And I would be so about it. Because everyone, here's the thing also. Every person has such a specific, even like, I think a lot of the times with food, average size or thin size people are left out of the conversation. But everyone has a relationship with it.
Absolutely.
Every single person. And that relationship varies. There are some people that are plus size that have a great relationship with food. There are some people that are average size that have a horrible relationship with food.
Yes.
Right? So like
this very, very much so.
This anti-diet thing has nothing to do with weight.
Yes.
It has to do with your relationship with food.
100%.
I just want to make sure that I'm clear for people out there that are like just want to cover my bases.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think that's
also
good.
Speak to people that don't understand it. I've done no one No one knows more about dieting and anti-dieting and calories than a fat person.
Yeah.
My sister called me up the other day, and she's like, I'm at Costco. She's like, well, I was going to get the pizza. It's so many more calories than a normal. She goes, do you know how many calories is in a large Costco pizza? And I knew instantly.
Yeah.
And she goes, when was the last time you went to Costco? I go, I don't know, a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Sick.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. No one knows more than, because I fight this every night.
Yes.
So I support this anti-diet stuff.
Yeah, because it's good to not fight it every day. It's exhausting.
It's the idea that we're talking about with, like, pride, you know?
Yeah.
Or, like, how I was talking about, was that on the Patreon or this, about winning battles and losing battles?
Yes.
Right? When every meal is a battle for you, it's win and lose, win and lose. You fight all day.
Yes.
So then all of a sudden you're putting ice packs on your face to regulate your nervous system.
We need that.
Oh, God.
It feels good.
It feels so good. I was doing it this morning.
Because that's your number one intruder now.
Is
this ice on your fucking face.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have time to think about all the other shit that makes me anxious when I'm in a freezing cold shower.
Yes.
I need to just breathe. Slowly, because that will get me through that moment. Your body kind of takes over. Yeah, it really does bring you to the moment.
Anytime you're in the moment, life is okay usually.
Almost always, yeah.
Yeah, there's only going to be a handful of times that's really going to be painful.
Yeah. Which is, yeah.
And they'll be really painful if you're in the moment.
For sure. Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's kind of ridiculous that General Mills did that.
No, I agree with you.
Yeah, and I've been a person that has struggled with food there. I've been on pretty much every diet. I never did Jenny Craig. Wish I did. I feel
had a real moment.
I feel FOMO.
FOMO for Jenny Craig.
I have straight up FOMO for when I see these people talk about how they did Jenny Craig or Hydroxycut. I get straight up FOMO. I'm gonna have FOMO about Ozempic in the future.
No.
I have FOMO about Jenny Craig. I wanna take.
You think it's similar?
Okay.
It's gotta be some kind of poison that Jenny Craig, like.
I mean, they just give you small portions. It's like,
but anytime I feel like you're making the meals somewhere else and for, I don't know, to preserve it, it's got to be something.
What do you think you eat?
Shit.
Yeah, I know, a lot of shit. I just want to make sure.
No,
that you,
I know.
You recognize that.
We were talking about the guy on, I guess, TikTok that didn't realize that the Cheesecake Factory freezes their food. It's like, what planet are you on? Do you think about the supply chain of food at all?
Here's the problem, is people don't have. They can't think logic.
Yeah.
Like, what should be taught in schools is logical thinking.
Yeah. No, for sure.
That's how they... When you
intro to logic isn't even that, though, I feel
like. No, it's not at all. When you go for a job at, like, one of these major places, they sit you down and they give you logic questions. Do you know that?
Yes.
Because they want to know how you think.
They want to hear you talk through something.
And that's more important. So we are filled with a world full of morons.
Oh, it's, yeah, for
if
sure.
If they can't figure out that Cheesecake Factory with 300 items doesn't have a freezer.
I just don't think they really have a macro view on how anything
I guess
exists.
They got a cow in the back that they cut. Huh, I wonder how many cows they got in the back of the Cheesecake Factory.
It's in the limited two? Where is these? What? We're in the mall.
We're in the
middle of the mall. Huh. Where do you think this is happening?
How many heads of iceberg lettuce do you think the Cheesecake Factory grows every day? I wonder how many halibuts they have back there to make fish sticks from.
It is truly wild.
It's insane.
Yeah, I had a talk with my pizzeria about their ingredients because he was talking how all the ingredients in America now are bad and they're just giving you bad ingredients, whatever.
What'd he say?
He was saying that, and I'm like, well, what about you? I come here twice a week. I trust you. And then he got a little defensive. He's like, well, I mean, you just can't. It's hard in America in general. It's not the same as in Italy. Calls it Italy.
Well, he is using bad ingredients.
I'm like, I hope your chicken is good, right? Are you getting good chicken? And he kind of deflected a little bit.
Of course he deflected.
Yeah.
He's going for the cheap. He's looking at overhead.
I hope not.
He's not looking.
But you got to trust he's been in business for a long time. You think he's just selling the community out?
Yes. You know what Dollar Pizza is?
Yeah.
They buy expired cheese and sauce.
I could see that.
They buy the because they know its shelf life will last longer, so they buy discounted expired food and sell it to people.
Yeah, I could see that.
So that's what it is. So, like, it's better than that.
Yeah. Now it's, you take a step back and you think about where stuff comes from, it starts to get more bleak.
Oh, yeah.
With everything in general, I would say.
I know. I'm like, at the end of the day, if I get pasteurized eggs, can I throw it on a paper plate? Like seriously,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like, that has to be, in the long run, better.
Probably so, I would say, right?
If the chickens are able to walk around and
the
live
net
a life.
Impact, yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of people, I don't think, are thinking about net impact in just a myriad of subjects.
Well, this is interesting that most people don't realize that people that actually want to help animals and the industry of farming and being protect animal cruelty become vegans. And they hurt animals at the end of the day because they're not putting their money behind properly raised chickens and cows in areas that aren't abusive towards them.
Yeah.
So they care about animals so much that they go, we won't eat them. But then the people that do eat animals and will eat,
they don't care about buying the cheap eggs and stuff like that.
Yeah, they don't care about buying the cheap eggs.
Yeah. So you need somebody to support the mission of doing this ethically.
The best
so by omitting is not supporting the ethical.
Yes.
Yeah, I see.
Like some people said that, like, to really support animal cruelty, you should put your money where your mouth is and like buy like chickens that are raised on a farm from a farm and like support that rather than just being like, I'm not going to put my money in there. Right.
Yeah.
And then once you go, I won't put my money in there. Then the guy goes, hey, I will. Well, fucking put them all in a bin. I don't give a shit. You know?
It's hard. It's exhausting because we have to fight so many that exist in every industry, everything that we encounter. It's just like they're constantly just trying to make it worse.
You only get three things that you could really care about.
Really, man. You do. Yeah.
Because there's just so much in this world
that's going really bad.
You get three things that you could really fight for and try to improve.
Yeah.
If you do everything, you can't help it.
No.
And
I mean, in every industry, this is happening, and it's bad.
Here's the thing also.
What?
Most of those three things for the average person are just things they need to fight for themselves.
To survive.
So then it's like, how the hell can you help the world?
No. And most people aren't even taking that one step back to even think about the big picture of those three things. Because they just got to go to work every day.
I saw this thing. It was like,
to survive.
You get a half hour between commuting 2 hours a day, going to work for 8 hours, going home, taking care of your chores, cooking yourself dinner, and going to the gym that you get a half hour TV.
And yeah, it's hard to judge what that half hour happens. Like what happens in that half hour.
And that half hour, and imagine.
And some people go,
imagine,
really?
And
some
then
people
can't even watch Rick and Morty because the guy is
well,
a
yeah,
100%.
Well, a lot of things are child molesters.
Yeah, I know.
It's hard. That's why I really try to not judge somebody until you have like a deeper conversation and be like, all right, what do you care about? What are you getting fed information wise? Like what? I don't know. You work all day and you only have a little bit of downtime. It's hard for me to judge you if you got fucking swooped up by some wild shit in your 30 minutes because that's what makes you feel nice.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's hard.
It's okay. It's okay though.
Yeah.
That's why we need little wins.
We do need little wins.
Happiness is a game of inches.
Happiness is a game. I like that.
Hoo-ah! Listen to me.
Who is that?
Al Pacino.
Oh, yeah.
Al Pacino. I love that.
Yes.
I was like looking at that, and then I'm like, this is a hard time for plus size people.
Okay.
The winter to the summer is a very hard time. I would say harder. It's easier going from summer to winter for plus size people.
Okay.
Because we just get more comfortable, more hidden.
Okay.
More, not having to put ourselves out there in situations that are tricky.
Okay.
For winter to summer is stressful for a plus size person.
I could see that.
Because slowly it's like reveal more. Take more off your body.
You got three, yeah.
Let me see more of you.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, there's going to be more events where food will be in front of you. Oh, there's going to be more events where beach chairs will be sitting down.
Yeah.
There'll be more heat.
There's a lot of heat.
There's going to be more heat, more sweating.
Yeah.
There's nothing like...
Would you say the build-up is more stressful than the summer?
Like the getting ready for summer?
Yeah, yeah. The weeks leading up, or just it's all stressful?
No, the summer's pretty stressful.
The summer itself.
The summer, so be kind to your plus-size friends in summer.
Okay.
It's a hard moment for us.
Okay.
I'll speak for me.
Yeah.
It's a hard moment.
Yeah.
You know why?
Why?
Everyone wants to get outside, do a lot of outside activities. You never look cool when you're dripping sweat.
Yeah.
You never look like a real cool guy when you're dripping sweat.
Sure.
You never look...
A real cool guy, yeah.
It's hard.
And sometimes you want to look like a real cool guy.
Sometimes you do.
Yeah.
Sometimes you put on an outfit, you put your sunglasses on, you look in the mirror, you say, let's go.
I look like
and
a real cool guy.
And then all of a sudden you walk three blocks and you're dripping sweat.
Yeah.
And the whole day's ruined.
Yeah, New York, especially in New York, it's hot. We get a wild heat.
Yeah, gross heat. Wet.
Very wet.
Very wet heat. Yeah.
It gets really wet in New York for about 2 months. Yeah, you can't go outside.
Yeah. But it's also a time of very flirtatious. In the summer. I think that's hard for plus size people in the way that society treats us, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not... It's like the summer has to be the flirtiest time of the year, right?
I would say so.
Right? Winter coziest, summer flirtiest.
I would say so.
Summer flirts.
Yeah. Because we're exposed
more. You're doing day drinks.
You're exposed. Yeah, you're day drinking.
You do a day drink, it's hard not to flirt at night.
Yeah, for sure.
What are you talking here?
Yeah. That is a good point. I guess it's the fact that you're drunk during the day and you could set the hookup for a normal time.
Yeah.
In the winter, by the time that you're like, oh, maybe me and you want to hook up, it's 2:30 a.m.
Yeah, because...
We should go to bed.
Everyone should go to bed.
The summer, it could be 5:30. And it's like, oh, I've developed a whole crush on this guy in 5.5 hours, and it's only 5:30. We're probably going to make out.
If someone texts me over the summer that, like, I feel like I want to hook up at any point of the day, I go, this is a booty call.
This is an option. It's on the table.
1:30 in the afternoon, I go, oh, they woke up early, went to the beach.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Texting any time during the summer is a booty call.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
If it's a booty call, if it's a hookup situation.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think that most texts in the summer are flirty texts. Even with your boys.
You think so? Let's go flirt.
Hey, let's go to the pool.
Yeah. Bunch of boys going to the pool.
Bunch of boys. Literally, if your boy's like, hey, let's go take our shirts off and go get wet in the same body of water together. It's a flirty text.
It's a little bit. Yes, it's flirty. There's a lot of flirty activities in the summer.
Summer is just filled with flirty activities.
And the winter is filled with lovey activities. Fall is lovey activities.
Even the concept of Frisbee, I think, was invented so it flies above you so you have to meet someone and so they could pass the Frisbee off to you.
Interesting. It's not meant to go to its assigned deliverer. Like, it's not meant to go where you want it to go.
No, it's not. The best use of a Frisbee is
you
to
just fucking
throw it past someone.
Yeah.
And then a group of girls has to hand you the Frisbee.
You think it's a flirt boomerang?
It's a flirt boomerang.
Okay.
It's the easiest way to flirt is to throw a Frisbee too far and you have to hand the Frisbee from one person to another. Inherently, it's flirty.
You think there's guys going to Prospect Park alone with the Frisbee? Just.
Yeah.
No one to receive it.
No, someone has to be there.
You need another person.
They can't be walking around.
You can't go, I don't know where my dog is.
Oh. Well,
no, I mean, it's flirty. The summer is flirty.
It's flirty, right? So many flirty things, right? Even the concept of sunglasses is flirty. The
concept of sunglasses, how?
How?
Yeah.
You get to look at any part of a person you want. Sunglasses on.
Checking people out.
You could check people out
without them knowing.
Yeah. Or even
a
sunglass, a tilt down?
Yeah.
You don't get much chicka chicka.
I guess have a little flirt. There's a lot of ways to flirt. You could initiate a flirt by just doing something as simple as that.
Imagine this. You're talking to someone, you have sunglasses on, the conversation's going well, and you take them off to talk a little deeper.
You're right.
I could
You're
feel
restricting
it.
Eye contact.
Yeah.
So then to give eye contact is a big move.
It truly is.
I see. Yeah, you're
like,
right.
Like, sunglasses are a flirty thing because when you take them off, you're saying, I'm opening up to you a little more. And there's no other, like, accessory that does that.
Because it's, there's tension built where I haven't even seen this person's eyes.
And you take them
off. I don't know what their eyeballs look like, and I'm already kind of into them. And then you give the reveal after. Yeah, it's very intimate.
You got these big blue eyes, these big hair, brown, beautiful eyes.
Yeah. And then you finally make eye contact. It feels like we just kissed almost.
It is a step of intimacy.
Like, oh, wow. Now I see you. And I already like you.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. That you build tension. A lot more ways to build tension.
You're opening up.
Yeah.
So it is this summer, this like transition to summer that we're entering right now. Definitely. We're in the middle of April, you know?
Yes.
So
it's nice out.
It's nice out, and people are all of a sudden starting to feel more into like hooking up or going out with people, right? I would say that this is probably a time that people are like want to go on dates.
Yeah, definitely.
Want to feel good about themselves.
Have things they want to do outside and maybe want to have somebody to do them with.
An activity.
Yeah.
It's so
at least a hookup.
It's so fun to have an activity, to bring someone to an event.
Absolutely.
So actually, that's why single people bring friends to an event, because we want to leave and talk to someone too about what just happened.
Yeah.
Like, that's why it's actually important that single people get plus ones also, because we want to leave. We want part of the joy of going to an event, which is leaving the event and enjoying the gossip with the person that you are with.
Absolutely.
It's just because I haven't found love doesn't mean I should be excluded from gossip after the event.
You should give a plus one to your single friends. Just so everybody out there, you should give a plus one for your single friends.
I think so.
Especially if most people are in relationships, if more than 50% of the people are in relationships, and then you don't give the single people a plus one, it's wild.
I'm even talking for like a birthday party.
Anything, yeah. Anything. Especially a birthday party when the stakes are a little lower. And I've been to many weddings, and it's all good. I understand why this happens.
I understand.
I obviously understand why it happens.
And here's the thing. Most of the time, we're going to say no.
Yes.
Which is
but
great.
But give me the option.
The option feels nice.
The option feels great.
If you want to invite me, you want to invite two.
Yeah. Also, you want me to join your team. You want me to be in a relationship. Because people in relationships, especially people that are getting married, want to recruit you to also be in that lifestyle. Let's be real. They want you there. They want to go on couples vacations. They want double dates. They want you to be in their lifestyle.
Nobody tells me I'm ready more for a relationship than my friends that are in one.
100%.
Nobody's like, what's going on?
Yeah.
More than that.
I found love. Come on, it's not that bad. You could do it. You could figure it out. All right. We were just in the trenches 2 years ago. What's going on? But regardless, you want me to come and get in a relationship, give me the plus one.
You're stripping us of, one, being able to whisper with somebody at the event.
Yeah.
I want to be at your birthday party and then whisper to them, be like, can you believe that Tim showed up? Didn't bring a single drink. He's slamming all the White Claws that we brought in the fridge.
Yeah, you need somebody you trust that you can.
You need someone to trust.
Yeah,
that's your anchor that you can continue to go to.
Yeah,
as a single person, you walk into an event like this. Who's here? Will talk to me.
Yeah,
right. You walk in as a couple. You can kind of pony up in the corner.
Yeah,
you can assess the situation together.
I mean, I was even my old roommate and one of my best friends. I was his plus one for years. It was awesome. He got to go to really cool things, and he would bring me as his plus one. I know what my role is. I'm like, yeah, we got to talk about the events that are in front of us and laugh and giggle about it and then meet other people at the event.
Because I think a plus one, people don't realize why they're giving it.
Yes.
They're like, oh, we have to give it so they could bring their romantic partner.
No, it's more the downtime. There's going to be awkward times.
You're giving them a plus one, and you're inviting their partner so that they are more comfortable at the event.
Yes.
That they have a better time at the event.
Yes.
Why you should allow me to bring my friend is the same reason. Just because I don't fuck the shit out of them once we leave.
Yeah.
Me fucking the person I bring to your event should have nothing to do with the baptism.
No.
It should have nothing to do with your 30th birthday. Yeah. The person, you should not be like, well, you can't bring them to the event because you don't eat their puss.
Yeah.
Right?
Because most of these people at these events aren't having good sex afterwards anyways.
Oh, you don't... Oh, can I bring... I was hoping I could bring Taylor to the event. Oh, you fuck Taylor?
Yeah.
Actually, we don't. Oh, you can't bring him.
Yeah.
What does that have to do with your birthday party?
No, nothing. Also, so, like, in the case of my friend who would bring me, I would say our odds go up of hooking up after the party with the two of us there together.
Weird.
I don't think it's weird. No, I think you're just more social with your friend.
Because you feel comfortable.
You feel, exactly. It's you're going to go up to different groups of people. You're yes. not, so it's hard emotionally to just swing four or five times at the party with you by yourself and then have no one to go back to.
Yeah, it just and we're talking swinging like a friend. Like
yeah,
just
like, hey, I'm here. I'm Robbie. What's some going
people,
on?
To walk into a circle, a group of people talking in a circle, sometimes people aren't open.
No, for sure.
There is no worse feeling than you approaching a circle of people. You get to the circle and it goes silent.
That's a bad feeling.
So for it to go silent and everyone look at you, it truly means you're not welcome here. What the information that we're sharing with each other, we don't think you deserve it.
Yeah.
And now we're going to switch the conversation and just talk about bullshit until you leave.
That's yeah, that is tough. Something I also struggle with, I feel like, is I'll approach a conversation and they won't slow down at all, or I'll approach a circle and they won't slow down the conversation at all, and then I quickly realize I probably won't be allowed to contribute to this, and now I'm kind of standing here, and now I've kind of committed to standing here. It's like, when can I leave? Then it's like, all right, this guy just walked up, listened to what we had to say for a minute, and then walked away. Like, if people just blow past you entering.
Yeah.
And you're don't even acknowledge you. You know what I mean? It's yeah. like, all right, I gotta. What am I doing now? Do I leave? Do I say, hey, I'm Robbie? Do I cut them off? They're not slowing down. They haven't.
You go, oh, that sounds interesting.
Yeah, I guess you got to make a joke or you find some
not
way
a joke.
In.
You could just be our earnest.
Yeah.
You could be like, oh, I didn't know that. That's cool.
That's the first thing. You don't know most of the people. Maybe you know one person in that group and you just. Yeah, I guess that's a way.
That's how you chime in that you're not like not familiar with what they're speaking about. If you're in a nice group of circle that you just approach, then they'll change the topic or fill you in on what it is.
Yeah, but that doesn't always happen at a lot of birthday parties.
Because here's the thing: people love to explain what they're talking about.
That is true.
People love.
Yes.
I play dumb all the time. I go, yeah. "What's a dinosaur?
Yeah, yeah.
What do you mean, MTA? What's that stand for? Yeah. Right?
That is a good way to get. On someone's, at least you need a friend at a party. You can be like, all right, what are they like? I'll just ask them a bunch of questions about the shit they like.
I don't, that's why single people will end up smoking cigs.
Yes.
Because it just gives you a reason. As a single person, if I go to a party with no one I know, and I'm just like mingling with like people I'm kind of acquaintance with, the odds of me drinking too much are through the roof.
Yeah.
Because then you're doing nervous drinking.
I nervous drink a lot.
As an adult, that's when you drink too much is when you start nervous drinking.
Absolutely.
It's not as a 20-something year old, it's when it's someone's birthday, you're taking shots, you're out there, you're like, oh, let's rip a couple beer bongs, let's shotgun a couple beers. We're playing a drinking game. That's when you overdrink in your 20s. In your 30s, you overdrink when you go, I'm uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I need to feel time. I need to feel okay.
Yes.
And that's when you end up getting too drunk.
Yeah, I do that a lot.
That's the only time I ever overdrink is when I'm like uncomfortable at a wedding, at a party, and I'll like end up overdrinking.
It's like, all right, I need a sip. The sip is the release.
The sip.
The sip is the release. Or getting but then if you need drink. A lot of, yeah. You need activities sometimes.
I'll be at a party. I'll go to the bathroom.
Yeah, 100%.
Clear my head.
But you can't go to the bathroom too much. You're like, all right, I went 40 minutes ago. I got another bathroom visit if I need. It's nice. You're just really trying to.
You're filling time.
Fill. Yeah, and it is hard. That's why you need the plus one.
And that's you can't. I don't smoke cigs. Oh, cigs.
I know.
I would love to. I don't like cigs, but I always liked kissing a girl that smoked a cig.
You did. A lot of people are the opposite.
I would love. It reminded me of that we're living.
That is nice.
Kissing someone I haven't done it in forever. Kiss someone, that's a nostalgic kiss.
Yeah.
Next time I kiss someone that has a cig breath, oof, I'll feel like, this reminds me when I was young and wild.
I haven't in a while.
It makes you feel like you're living.
Yeah.
Because I've kissed people in the past who had vape breath. Not great.
No.
It's not the same.
Yeah, I don't even know what that, it's not as strong as a cigarette.
Oh no!
Cigarette punches you in the face.
I kind of like, if I have a couple drinks in me. I mean, this doesn't happen.
Yeah,
I live a very boring life.
Yeah. I mean, you can dream. A man can dream.
A man can dream, but like going outside with someone, it would be like in college. You go outside with someone, they smoke, and then you start kissing them.
Yeah, I've never had that.
You never had that?
No.
It's a beautiful feeling.
Yeah.
So for you to fake smoking a cigarette so you can make out with a girl.
I've never done that. Maybe I have to. One day.
So, you know what's funny?
What?
I also then, at college, would make out with this girl who smoked cloves.
Oh.
Which was just like...
Roll her own cigarettes?
No, cloves. You never heard of clove cigarettes?
No.
It was like this it's like this, like, I don't know, like pepperminty, healthy cigarettes, okay. They call it. It was like, it was all black, and like... I guess it was popular. Women would smoke them, and there was like this idea of a healthy cigarette.
Okay.
And they would taste different.
Interesting.
And so I guess I can't even imagine.
The clove of breath.
Kissing a clove.
That would really take you back.
That would take me back to one specific person from my past.
Yeah. Tastes and smells that can really put you right back somewhere. That's really interesting.
Yeah. I think that like we have to like... Remember that when you go to parties and you're the single person, they're coming there really leaning on the party more than people in couples.
Absolutely.
They're there because they really love you.
And we're pretty extroverted people, pretty able to make a conversation with strangers. Like I would say on the higher end of that.
Yeah.
And we're talking about, all right, 40 minutes, I could go to the bathroom or I'm walking around and it's hard. You really do need the plus one helps so much. And oftentimes I would bring a guy friend as a plus one.
It's so hard. It's so hard to even get to places.
Yes.
We have to like society has been made for us. Every day society is being more and more, making it more and more easy for us to be alone.
Yes.
Every
single day. They want us to
be
alone.
We're
more vulnerable alone.
Yes. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Group minds could take down a nation.
Yeah.
Right? Us being alone, they're making it easier and easier for us to be alone.
Yes.
So just for me to leave is hard.
Yes.
For me to get there is hard. Let's make it as easy as possible for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Invite a plus one.
There's so many events in the summer that you just want to go with someone.
Yeah.
Because there's long travel too.
Yeah, for sure.
That's why people do.
It's hard to get to the beach. If you don't live by the beach, it's even if you live 20 minutes from the beach, that 20 minutes is an hour and 20 minutes in the summer.
Yeah, that's hard.
It's hard.
And that's why I don't mind the concept of third wheeling.
I love a third wheel.
I think that if the third wheels are great, make fun of it, but it just means that we're all friends.
Yes. I have third wheel so much in my life that it's like we have to be friends. Like I have to be friends with my friends' girlfriends. It's like that's what it'll be.
Third wheeling is great.
Yeah.
You know why? Because they both take care of you.
Yes.
They're both there for you. Third wheeling is actually better than bringing a plus one sometimes.
Yes. 100%. But if it's like we're going to go together and we're a three-person team and it's cool. Like if you can't third wheel with a couple that only wants to chit-chat between the two of them. Like if we're a third wheel, we're a tricycle.
Yes.
We're all fucking wheels on this bicycle moving us forward. That's how it needs to be treated. You can't just be like, he comes along, and then we just chit-chat, and then you are there. No, it's like we're a three-person team now.
Well, it's literally, they're the two in the back. You're the one in the front.
Yeah.
So if they can't go shit without you.
Yeah.
That's the way they need to treat it.
Yes, that's ideally.
A good third wheel situation.
Yeah.
And I'm about that. I'm a third wheel in a couple situations.
I'm always a third wheel.
And I don't mind it.
Yeah. There is third wheel etiquette, too.
You can't
start making out.
Why I'm invited to be a third wheel is because I know how to be a good third wheel.
No, I mean on the couple. They can't start making out.
No.
They get to slow dance, obviously.
Yeah, you're at a wedding. You're with the third, you're third wheeling. What's your thoughts on you asking someone else to slow dance? You asking one of them to slow dance?
One of the people in the couple?
Yeah.
I would not do that ever.
Would you ask anyone in a couple?
They're gonna slow dance. The couple is gonna slow dance.
If you go to a wedding,
like the three of us do a dance.
Yeah. What do you feel? I don't like that.
I know people that have done that.
I'm not about that. Why make it?
They
special
can have
for no
their
one?
Intimate moment.
Yeah.
One of my friends was on his honeymoon, in Kauai, in Hawaii, whatever, and they go on a helicopter ride around the island.
Yeah.
And my other friend sat in between the couple.
It's bad.
On the honeymoon.
That's really bad.
I'm just like, I remember seeing pictures of it, and I was like, I wouldn't have done that.
No.
That's maybe a step too far. My friends didn't care. I mean, they're very obviously, they spend a lot of time together and very comfortable in their relationship. They don't need every moment to be a special moment together, the two of them. But I do remember seeing that, and I was like, that's a step too far for me.
Well, you know what this person did that was a great thing?
What?
Sometimes the third wheel needs to give the other two people something to talk about.
Yes, that's true.
And this person did their exact job.
That is a huge part of being a third wheel, is to give them something to talk about when you leave, and I would say.
That's okay.
Yeah.
I actually think this. If you are about to move in with a partner, my best advice for you is have a third roommate.
Interesting.
Why? Because then you will have someone to blame for everything that goes wrong in the apartment.
Okay.
It could be the two of you on a team and you get annoyed at what that person does.
It will bring you together against an op.
Because then all of a sudden you won't be annoyed at what he does, your partner does, or what she's doing. You're annoyed at what the third person's doing.
It really reinforces you're on a team.
It reinforces that it's the two of you on a team together.
Yes.
If that's a great way to slowly ease into living with someone, it's have a roommate.
And that's the mentality for success long term.
I think it's
us as a team in this apartment.
Because then slowly you'll get used to each other's eccentric behaviors living together while dealing with someone else.
Yeah.
If you or a couple get a horrible third roommate,
just
an absolute nightmare. And I would love to do that for a living.
Okay.
I would love to move in with couples so they feel closer because I'm such a slob and a mess. Yeah. I would love to be a mess in an apartment as the third roommate for a couple so they could, I could see them getting closer as they push me further away.
That is funny. That is just a good idea.
One in the afternoon in my underwear, smoking weed on the couch, leaving shit stains on the toilet bowl, right?
It will bring people closer.
Dishes in the sink.
Yeah.
They kick me out.
Because a lot of times people move in together and it becomes me versus you. And you can't start with the me versus you. You need to know that it's you two against other things.
This is my new service.
This is a good service.
Hire me.
Yes.
Shitty third.
Shitty third.
Right? I'll show up. I'll be there. I'll make sure that you know how okay your partner is because of how bad I'll be to live with.
Yeah, that would be useful for sure.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. It does bring people together, especially in your shared living space.
So, yeah, I do think that is good advice. Like, just jumping in, the two of you moving into place is going to be a harder adjustment.
Yeah.
Especially in a big city like New York, you're 25, do it.
25 especially.
Do it.
25 do especially. It. I don't know if I would do that.
No, probably I would not.
Not at this point.
Age.
Yes. Hopefully I can just communicate and understand that we are on a team together.
Yes.
But that's a lesson that a lot of people need to learn.
At my age,
yes,
I would have to just move in with a woman.
Yeah. Probably so.
Hopefully one day.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Well, that's it. Thank you all for listening. Robbie and I went away this weekend. We'll chat, I'm sure, about that on the Patreon. We have some fun stuff that was going on there. And if you want to check out the Patreon, go to patreon.com. Please keep comment on the YouTube. That's a great place if you want to support us, for us to talk back to you. Let us know what you like about the episode. We always love getting those comments about the episode. Right, Rob?
Yeah, please keep commenting.
Yeah.
And we appreciate the Patreon subscription. It's grown since we started it, and it has allowed us to continue to do it. And the more it grows, the more that we'll be able to do this. So please, please, please subscribe to that if you can. There's 23 episodes now, vlogs, still all the stuff from Portugal is on there.
Yep.
So for $10 now, you're getting a nice little healthy amount of content, I would say.
Yeah, you definitely
we're building that up.
You definitely get if you just want to slam us, go ahead, slam us.
Yeah, and it's nice to be able to talk pretty candidly. I was thinking people wanted to take me down. You could sink me for $10 a month right now. I mean, if people wanted to, they could. They could really disarray my life. I'm not saying this on Instagram or this is an hour into this episode, but I'm spilling a lot on the Patreons.
Yep.
And you could really throw my life in a wrench if you decided to throw $10 a month Don't do that, please. Obviously, I don't want this.
I don't even know why
you're I don't know why I bring this up either. All right, anyways. I don't want this. I don't want this, but I have been giving a lot to the Patreon recently, and it won't happen forever. So if you want to subscribe, subscribe.
Beautiful. All right, Robbie, hit the music.